Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember as a kid closing my eyes around the house and trying to navigate my way around. Anybody ever do that? I think I was curious what it was like to be blind, and so I would purposefully close my eyes and try to find my way around, sometimes in the yard. It was a rather interesting experience. And maybe you haven't done that, but maybe you've had that experience where it's nighttime in a hotel room, and you don't know where the bathroom is, and you don't want to wake anybody up, and you're feeling around for the walls and oof, trying not to run into things. Now, it might be difficult for us to truly understand what it's like to be blind, but it can come with its own challenges and difficulties. And as it is difficult for us to understand what it's like to be blind, for those that have never seen, it's difficult to understand what it's like to see. There's a guy named Tommy. He's got a YouTube channel, and Tommy is a blind man who's been blind virtually from birth. And he said, for blind people, it's very difficult to understand the concept of color. How in the world could you explain color or something like the Grand Canyon? How could you possibly explain the beauty of the Grand Canyon to someone who's been born blind? And then he said also fog. Fog was rather difficult to try to explain to someone who is blind. In our gospel lesson, we hear of a blind man, but we also hear of seeing people who are blind in their own respect. And we see Jesus coming in to this situation as the light of the world. So we take a look at this, knowing that sometimes there are blind people that can see better than those with physical sight. So in John chapter 1, we read these words about Jesus. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Now, if you're blind from birth, again, as we expressed, it's difficult to understand certain concepts, and it's also difficult in some respects to get certain jobs. Especially in Jesus' time, there may not have been a lot of jobs available for this person, and we understand that he was begging. So this guy was a figure in the community. A lot of people knew the blind guy. We don't know what his name was, but oh yeah, that's that guy. Yeah, he's been around for years. Jesus sees this man who is born blind. And you can imagine the challenges that he faced. Somebody would point over to the temple and say, oh, look at the magnificence of this beautiful temple. The blind man could only guess at the beauty. He could smell these things called flowers, but to understand what they looked like would be very difficult. Same with these sounds of birds and other creatures. What does that actually look like? And also, I think he dealt with some of the stigmas that can happen when people deal with disabilities. Now, I think sometimes we can get a little bit uncomfortable when somebody has a disability because we just don't know how to react around him sometimes. And Tommy on his YouTube channel talks amusingly sometimes about people's reactions to blind people and some of the questions they actually ask blind people. He finds it kind of amusing. But it's not always amusing. Sometimes there's a certain stigma, and we see that happen with this blind man. Jesus' disciples actually ask a question. John 9:2, his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They're trying to place some kind of blame on the parents or on the blind man. And maybe this is so that they can feel more comfortable about the situation. Because when you see someone who has a blindness or a disability, it might be rather awkward wondering, you know, how did this come about? And maybe it's easier to say, well, this is what happened. We know then why this person is blind and somehow place the blame on them. The disciples are trying to do that. And sometimes that can be easier. If we can pin it on a specific sin, and then we can find justification for what happened. But the truth is, we live in a world where, yes, there's sin in this world, and we see the results of sin, but there are some things that are just the way they are. But that leaves us rather uncomfortable. We like to have everything figured out and put in a box. And in this case, we don't know exactly why the man was blind. Notice Jesus' response to the disciples. Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus doesn't try to explain the situation, but he uses this opportunity to point out that God is at work. He's going to be at work in this situation. Then we see Jesus encounter this blind man. And can you picture with me what that must have been like for this blind man? So imagine the blind man is over here, and here's Jesus. You can hear the footsteps of this guy come up. And all of a sudden, here's this guy, and he goes, and he spits on the ground. He's like, what is going on here? Then he hears the sound of something as Jesus is mixing mud with the saliva. And then imagine, Jesus maybe says, hold still here. Puts his arm on the guy and begins putting mud on his eyes. And I don't know if you've ever felt mud on your eyes. I was in Israel, got to go to the Dead Sea, and had the mud, and that was an interesting experience. It's kind of slimy and warm. And imagine this guy, he's going, what's going on here? And then Jesus says, go wash in the pool. And this guy goes off, and I imagine he knows the route. He knows the route to go to the pool. And so he's going along, feeling his way to this pool, and then he starts feeling the cool water. So he's washing himself, and then he washes the mud out of his eyes. And can you imagine that moment? Where, never having seen anything, all of a sudden this gleam of light bursts through his eyeballs into his senses. And it must have been an overwhelming experience. Absolutely overwhelming. All of a sudden, maybe he looked around and he saw all these people by the pool. And maybe there were some flowers or some vegetation. All of a sudden he's going, oh, that's what that looks like. And these birds, he sees this bird in the tree and he goes, oh. And then maybe he catches a glimpse of the temple and he sees the glory of the temple that had only been described to him before. And it must have been an amazing moment as all of a sudden this blind man who once was blind could now see. As he encountered Jesus, the light of the world. Ah, just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. So we see some really neat things here. In this passage, as Jesus is healing this blind man, we see the Creator encountering his creation and bringing restoration. Now, Jesus did different miracles in different ways, but I find it interesting that he uses his creation. He uses visible elements as he heals the man. Remember in Genesis 2, it talks about man being created from the dirt, from the dust. And here Jesus puts dirt on the man's eyes, and all of a sudden, boom, after they are washed by water, he is then healed. The Creator comes bursting forth into this created world and brings restoration. And this certainly also points to Jesus as the Messiah, as the promised one who is to come. And we see in various passages in the Old Testament references to the Messiah, to the time of the Messiah and the healing of the blind. Listen to these passages from Isaiah 29:18 and think of Jesus. Isaiah 29:18 says, in that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. Isaiah 35:5 says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Isaiah 42:6, I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. And here is Jesus, the light of the world, who comes bursting onto the scene and bringing light to this man's eyes. So as you were listening to the gospel lesson, maybe you found it a little bit amusing. I would say in this passage of Scripture, we have one of the more amusing dialogues between this blind man who can see and a bunch of seeing people who are blind. So first of all, people are wondering about this blind guy. Like, is that Philip? I don't know, whatever his name was. Is that Philip? Nah, that can't be Philip. Looks like him, but no, that's somebody else. And then the parents are called in, right? And parents kind of know their kids pretty well, you hope. And they're like, no, that's definitely Philip. Yeah, absolutely. His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Well, so there's this questioning that continues. And they're questioning this blind man. And he's look, okay, one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. So they move past the fact that this is not a different guy. This is the same guy. And so then they start rationalizing and trying to figure this out. And finally, they get so fed up with the guy that they kick him out of the synagogue. Just get out of here. These people, the Pharisees, though they could see with their physical eyes, were blind to what God was doing and blind to the light of the world itself. Tommy, the guy from YouTube again, he talked about an interesting experience that he had one time. Tommy, being blind, doesn't always know when lights are on or off. Makes sense. So at his house, sometimes he'll turn the lights on, but sometimes he won't. He doesn't need them. Well, sometimes when he has guests over, they'll come to the door and it's completely dark. Tommy comes to the door and he welcomes him in, not thinking that the light's not even on, and the guests are sitting there awkwardly in the dark for a while, and Tommy's just chatting with them and finally say, hey, Tommy, is it okay if we turn on the lights? And Tommy's like, oh yeah, absolutely. And they turn on the lights. Tommy was oblivious to the light. The Pharisees had the light of the world right in front of them, and they were blinded. They were blinded. Isn't that interesting how light can bring sight, but light can also blind? If you look at the sun, it's just not the best idea for you. You won't be able to see. John 9:39, Jesus says, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." What they were blind to the fact, they were blind to the fact that they needed a Savior. They were so blinded by their own self-righteousness and that they didn't see that they needed the light of the world. Anybody remember Plato's allegory of the cave from school? Plato's allegory of the cave. Maybe you don't know Plato's allegory of the cave, but anyway, this guy named Plato writes this allegory about these people that are in this dark cave. They're chained inside this cave, and all they can see is shadows playing on the wall. One of them is able to break free from this cave, and they go out. This guy goes out, and he experiences light for the first time. He experiences truth and light. And he's so excited about the light. And he wants to come back into the cave and share with those other people who are still in darkness. But as the allegory goes, long story short, they see the guy and they end up wanting to kill him. And what happens? Jesus comes into the world, the light of the world, and he ends up getting killed, crucified. Apart from the light of Christ, we are in darkness. It says in John chapter 1 about Jesus, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Now, we have people that we know in our life who don't necessarily know the Lord. And perhaps we're concerned about them. And maybe we've done everything that we think we can to tell them about Jesus or to point them in that direction. And maybe sometimes we get it in our mind that somehow if we try just a little bit harder, if we can phrase something just right, if we can just get them emotional enough, something will happen and they'll come to see the light. But what happens? We find ourselves just frustrated because ultimately we cannot bring light into their life. We can bring the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We bring the word, but ultimately it is the Holy Spirit who must give them faith, who must bring that light into their life. But take heart, because as it says in Isaiah 55, verse 11, the word of the Lord does not return void. God works through his word, and his word does not return void. And so we as his people can trust and say, Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. Lord Jesus, there are people in my life who I love who don't know you. It is up to you, Jesus. Please work in their heart and their life. Give me the words that you might want me to say, but may I trust you that you will work as you see fit. And then we can lean upon our Lord Jesus. We can rest in his grace, being available, saying, Lord, I'm open to bringing the gospel, but then trusting and ultimately putting it in God's hands, that his word will not return void, that the Holy Spirit works through that word. Because it is Jesus who brings the spiritual sight. We see that with the blind man, right? To the blind man, Jesus reveals himself as the Son of God. John 9:35, to the blind man, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I might believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. This blind man was not only given physical sight to see, but he was also given the spiritual sight to recognize that Jesus is truly God in human flesh, that he is the Savior of the world. And that's what God has given to you and me. This is the gift that God has given to you, spiritual sight, eyes of faith. Now notice that I read from the book of John chapter 9, also read from John chapter 1. There's a theme in John of light and darkness that maybe you've picked up as you've read the book of John. Light and darkness. But then John chapter 20, where Jesus has encountered Thomas. Thomas wants to believe, but he's skeptical. And Jesus says to Thomas, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. We see here at work the eyes of faith. Sometimes people say that seeing is believing. But in the idea of spiritual sight, believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. And that's what God does for you and for me. John chapter 12, 44, Jesus says, Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Anybody remember John Newton? John Newton was the guy who wrote our sermon hymn today. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton didn't know the Lord. But in his life, the word was placed into his life. And long story short, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, eventually became a pastor. He's a slave trader, going from slave trader to pastor, all by the grace of God, giving him spiritual sight to see. And then we see that beautiful hymn that he wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I once was blind, but now I see. And that's what God does for you and for me. I love how God works through his word, and I love how he also works through his creation. As we think about the blind man who had mud put on his eyes, a physical, visible element and water placed upon him, it makes me think of the beauty of what we call the sacraments, right? God works through his word, but he also attaches his promises to his creation. This is amazing. As it says in our catechism about the sacraments, it's a sacred act instituted by God in which God himself has joined his word of promise to a visible element, and by which he offers, gives, and seals the forgiveness of sins earned by Christ. What am I talking about? I'm talking about baptism and the Lord's Supper. There you have this water, and water by itself is just plain water. But when you combine God's water with the word, God does things. Same with the bread and the wine. It's just bread and wine. But you add God's word of promise, where God says, this is my body, this is my blood. Things happen. God is at work, giving the strengthening of your faith and the forgiveness of sins. This is amazing stuff that our Lord gives as he works, giving us sight. Now, as we receive sight, spiritual sight, what does that bring us? It brings us joy. It brings us joy like we've not known before. Have you ever watched the reactions of people that were once blind but through surgery, etc., have been able to see? You can find them on YouTube. It's really cool. And there's one guy named Daniel. He hadn't seen his wife for 21 years. He had not seen his wife for 21 years. And I love the scene that they show in this YouTube video where Daniel's there in the doctor's office and his eyes are closed and the nurse is getting ready to have him open his eyes. And all of a sudden, you see his eyes flutter open and then this shocking look of amazement on his face as he sees his wife. You can only imagine the joy that was in his heart and also in his wife's heart. She's taking the video camera, and you see the video camera still at first, and all of a sudden you see the video camera go crazy and then fall to the floor. She's like, ah! And she embraces her husband. The joy that was expressed was tremendous as he was blind, was then able to see. The joy that God gives you is incredible. The joy, the good news that you're forgiven. Those things that you might remember in your past. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin and all unrighteousness. You're forgiven, a child of God. The joy of having the promises of God's word that you can see with the eyes of faith as you look in God's word. He gives you his precious promises. You might be struggling on a particular day, and it's so cool how the Lord then brings to mind and brings to your heart the word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Or those wonderful words when we're dealing with diseases or struggles or difficulties in our own life or in the lives of our families, that God works all things together for good to those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. All things. These are the precious promises that God gives to you, and he gives you the eyes of faith to see and to believe. How many of you have heard of Fanny Crosby? Maybe a couple of you know of Fanny Crosby. She's a hymn writer who's written about 8,000 hymns. Fanny Crosby was blind, and it was kind of a tragic situation because when she was 6 weeks old, she had an eye infection. Unfortunately, there was a man who was posing as a doctor who worked on her eyes. And as a result of his malpractice, she went blind. So Fanny Crosby was blind for virtually most of her life. And yet Fanny, at 8 years old, said these words. 8 years old. Oh, what a happy child I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. There was a well-meaning preacher who was talking to her, and sometimes we can be well-meaning and say stupid things. But there's a well-meaning preacher, and I think he meant well, and he said, I think it is a great pity that the Master did not give you sight when he showered so many other gifts on you. Fanny responded to the preacher and said this, Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind? Because when I get to heaven, the first face that I shall see that will gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. Wow. For now, Fanny sees with the eyes of faith. She saw with the eyes of faith, and now she sees face to face her Lord Jesus Christ. And because God has given you the eyes of faith, as you go through this life, we have Jesus, the light of the world. Until that time when we will be there and see face to face our Lord Jesus. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Peace of the Lord be with you. May you continue steadfast in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.